last night. And the funny thing about it is, two out of three wives that I heard all told us to be good. My wife said it as I went out the door. Juan's wife said it as we were picking him up. And I'm quite sure Stephanie was saying the same thing. What trouble could the three of us get into? Two pastors and a bald-headed Mexican. Get in a truck and go out of town. Sounds like a joke, don't it? Seriously. Want to talk to you today about healing. When I get through shaking, we'll get there. I want to talk to you about healing. Yes, glory to God. Because healing is what one of the things he does. And he does it really good. When he heals you, you're healed. Sickness. Leprosy. Schizophrenia. Demons. Death. Got quiet on that last one. In the Old Testament, there's 12 occurrences of healings. It's nothing new to God. And three corporate healings. What I mean by corporate, that means more than one person. But there was 12 specific healings recorded in the Old Testament. The New Testament has 41 specific healings. And countless corporate healings. And I do mean countless. John says that if everything he did was written and recorded in books, the earth is not big enough. There would not be enough room for all the books, for everything that he did, for all the healings. Do you understand that? Our computers can't even hold the information. I can remember when Bill Gates said that no one would ever need more than 50 megabit. Then he realized what he said and developed something called fatware. And I'm not talking about here. His program started getting so big that it started taking gigs. And then it's up to terabytes and whatever other kind of byte there is now. All information, they can take the whole Library of Congress and put it on a drive not much bigger than this. That doesn't equate to the glory. That does not equate to the knowledge. And that does not equate to the things that Christ did. Because we're just talking about when he was alive walking on earth. Not while he's alive in heaven. How many people have been healed? Okay. Has that happened since Christ has been in heaven? Can he heal you today? Is that not what he does? And who does he use? Us? I mean, me? Would he use somebody like me? Someone like Ron? You Doggone right he would. You know, he taught a radical gospel. From the beginning of what he started doing when ministry started on earth. Those 3.5 years. He was radical. Why? Because he knew who his Father was. He knows who his Father is. And he knows the love that his Father has. Because he even signed up to come down here. He knows. He was in constant prayer with the Father. Anytime that there was a big miracle or anything happened, yeah, it's all right. Anytime something big happened, where was Jesus before and where was Jesus after? He would go off to the side and would pray, and he would be in contact with his Father. He would go and be in constant contact with his Father. Daddy. But I can't imagine he didn't come and say, Daddy. I can't imagine he's the most mighty and awesome, gracious God. The one who has all power. Who created everything by speaking it. I come and submit, and I submit myself to you. Why do I think that way? Because I see the prayers that are written. The prayers that are written by his disciples. Most awesome God, mighty Father, Abba, we beseech you now. We come to you now for your glory, for your honor. We come to you now. And we submit. Ooh, hard word, submit. We don't like to submit. Especially if you're a male. We don't submit nothing. We're Texans. We don't submit. We conquer. Yeah. Until we talk to the wives. And they know the truth. They wash our clothes and they see what's dirty and what's not. I want you to go to Mark chapter 1. And they went to Capernaum straight away on the Sabbath and entered in the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he talked to them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Point one. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What do we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. The Holy One of God. Man, if your arms, hair's not on your arms and legs and everything else isn't standing up right now, you better check. The Holy One of God. The demon in that boy is yelling out, "You're the Christ." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Now, I don't imagine Jesus going over there and just saying, "Well, brother, you need to be quiet. And would you please just kind of find your way out? You're kind of disrupting the service here that I'm fixing to preach." Is that Jesus? Said he taught with authority. That means he got a little bass in his voice. The modern translation is, "Shut up and get out." What'd that thing do? And the unclean spirit had tore him and cried with a loud voice, "Oh no, Mr. Bill!" Cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he, even the unclean spirit, and they obeyed him." What did Ronnie just say about that boy last night? Say it again, Ronnie. We don't need new doctrine. We don't need new teaching. We just do what we're supposed to do now. Now, these are the Jews. They know the doctrine. They know the teaching. What is he saying? He taught not as the scribes. He talked with authority. Bass in his voice. I was told once by my dad, "Boy, you better take that bass out of your voice just before it whooped me." How was all that? Dad says to me, he says, "So you think you're smarter than me?" And I said, "Well, when you were in this grade, we know more now than you did then. So yeah." So that means, and how he got to the next part, I'm not quite sure, but so you think you can whoop me? Well, my dad had a busted hand because he fell off a horse and jammed some fingers up through his hand, so he's got his right arm is messed up. I figured now's the time. Dad said, "All right, smart so-and-so, let's go out." I buck up. I walk in front of him, open the sliding glass door, and I watch myself go right over the patio into the yard. First lesson. Never go out first. Dad caught me in the back of my head, and I flipped right over the patio into the yard. And it's hard to fight someone when there's six of them. You're not sure which one you're swinging at. My eyes are doing this. "Dad, I don't want to fight you." "Oh, no, you wanted to fight me a minute ago, smart guy." "Dad, I'm sorry, don't kill me." I learned that lesson real well. I'm never the first out anymore. Not even in church. 41 healings did he do. 41 healings. And that's not including the corporate. And how did he do these things? Well, he's Christ, one. He's the one that was spoken of, was told, don't worry, I'm not going to preach the whole thing. Maybe. I love it when I get to study. I always got more than what I can get put out. And how did he heal? He healed out of compassion. He healed out of compassion. He sees our physical and our internal selves. We are a threefold being. Spirit, soul, and flesh. And he can see all three. He can look right at this big old boy and see every bit of him right now. He can look at my dear friend back here and see the x-rays. And he can see what is wrong with us, not only in our spirit, our soul, but in our physical body. He can see the cancers. He can see the sickness. He can see when the enemy is in us. And you don't think that wouldn't cause someone to have compassion? He can see the state that we're in. Excuse me. He can see the need that we have. And because he's God, his heart hurts too. He bled for us. Cried for us. Wept. I could stop right there and that would be enough. But he had compassion on us. He had compassion on the crowds. He had pity on the two blind men, the two blind beggars. Healed everybody that came to him. Going from one place to another, there's two beggars, blind beggars on the road. And they're crying out, Jesus, heal us. Crowd of people around them. And he hears those two crying out. Everybody else telling them, shut up. We want to hear what the master says. The master says, what is it you want? We want to see. They got their sight back. He healed with faith. And that's the word we like to use a lot. Faith is the most important quality connected with the impartation of the healing power. Jesus seemed to was more able to heal those when faith was present than when faith wasn't. Explanation. In his own city, in his own town, they didn't believe. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't it his mother and his brothers and sisters right over yonder? I know he's texting in there somewhere. Isn't this the boy that used to run up and down the street? And he's going to heal us? Not a lot of faith there. Walks out of that city, goes to the next. He heals one. And everybody goes crazy. Lord, please. Lord, 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 Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord. Lord, you don't understand what I need. You don't know how bad I'm hurting. Come here, child. Come here, child. Even when he's walking from one place to another to go heal somebody else. The lady with the issue of blood. She has spent all her money. All her money. And went and seen every witch doctor and so-called doctor there is. And they all did everything they could. And they could not stop it. And with boldness. Why do I say boldness? Because she was unclean. And for someone to unclean to go out in the crowds with everybody else that were clean is a stoning offense. There were people who knew who she was and knew she had this issue of blood. And she's coming up to them. She's pushing around all the men and everybody that is keeping her from touching the Lord. She was on a mission. If I could only touch the fringes of his robe, I will receive healing. If I could only touch the fringes of his robe, I will receive healing. If I could just push through all the guys this size, if I can get through all those that his disciples that are encircle him, if I could just catch him in stride and just catch up to him and touch, just touch the fringe, I will be healed. Tell you what, when a woman's on a mission, she's going to get it done. She pushed through all those guys in her frail state. And she caught them in stride, mid-stride, and touched them. And what was Jesus' words? Who touched me? Who touched me? I guarantee you knew who it was. And what did the boys say? Come on, Lord. You got 99,000 people standing around you. You can't even move without bumping into somebody. What do you mean, who touched you? And he turned. And he turned. And he looked. And he looked. To thy faith. You got this? Excuse me. Thy faith has made you whole.
Amen.
Thy faith has made you whole. Amen. Thy faith has made you whole. Come on, people. You ought to be jumping up saying amen and just praise God. Hallelujah. Man, you're not Baptist. You're Bapticostals. Okay, y'all can all fight for the back row, but you're going to let the Spirit move. All right? You're not Baptist. You're Bapticostals. You heard it first here, again. Just regimented enough to do certain things, but Pentecostal enough to let the Spirit flow and receive what it is that you're receiving. That woman received what she desired the most. Another time he's out walking. Ten guys with leprosies. Leprosy. These 10 guys come up to him. They were sick. They were unclean. If they got around anybody that was clean, they would be stoned to death. So you didn't let sickness get sick people get around whole clean people. I mean, the Jews had laws. You just didn't do that. You weren't following procedure. You weren't following what we say, those 5,000 extra rules on that hunt, on those 10. God gave us 10, they gave us 631. And the 10, they had like 5,000 rules on that. And on 631, they had a bunch. These 10 guys cried out, "Heal us, Lord. Heal us." Leprosy was something you didn't want. You were on Mac outcast. It's where the parts of your body, the nerves go dead. People have been known to put their hand in fire, even though they were doing it. Limbs start rotting away and falling off. Fingers, toes, nose, ears. It's very bad. If you don't believe me, go look at National Geographic. Get online and look it up. For some of the leper colonies and stuff that they have still out there in the world today. These 10 men cried out, "Heal us!" And the Lord healed them. And they all ran off to the priest, because they were, anybody healed of leprosy according to the law had to present themselves to the priest, and the priest would inspect them and make sure that they were clean. 8 of them kept boogieing. 2 of them stopped and went back and thanked him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've just done for me. I can be with my family again. I can be amongst other people again. What would be today's modern equivalency to leprosy, even though there is still leprosy? Homeless. When I used to do the homeless ministries, the one thing that they missed the most was human touch. They're people that are invisible. The guy standing on the corner with a sign. They're invisible. And what they want the most is someone to recognize them, to know them, to touch them. As the modern new age, quote unquote, leprosy, is being homeless and on the street. Well, that just don't happen in America. They must have wanted to do that. And there are quite a few of them that do choose that. And there's quite a few of them that didn't. Because they got into different things. Like Donnie said, drugs. Alcoholism. Human slavery. Sex trafficking. On and on and on. There's nothing new under the sun. No, not one thing. Not one thing is new. We just do it much faster than they used to. Type in something on Google, and it'll tell you that you have 1 billion some odd million and something another replies, answers to that in 4.3 seconds. Boy, if I could get a car, do a quarter mile, 4.3 seconds, I'd be moving. Ain't going to happen, but. So he healed people by touch. He healed people by commanding. Because of the authority that's in him. And I believe we have the same authority. Why do I believe that we have the same authority? Because he said, you see what I have done, y'all going to do more. What things I have done, y'all shall do and greater. We're just trying to do what he did in the first place. But by command, he would often speak a command like, go! Rise! Stretch out your hand. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Or he's in the synagogue. Is it good? Is it right to do good on Sunday? Or the Sabbath? Saturday? Whichever day you want to figure it is. Is it good to do good? All right, I'm going to try this side. Is it good to do good? Boy's got a withered hand. The Pharisees and Sadducees and all the Easies are standing right there watching. They're ready. They got their rocks. They got double barrel rock hands. They're ready. Jesus says, stretch forth thy hand. I can see both hands going up there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can move my hand. My knee. I hear quite often, I've got a bad knee. Man, I've walked this earth for 960 years, and my knees just ain't what they used to be. Moses was 120 years of age, perfect sight, perfect everything. The only reason why he died is because he gave up his spirit. And he lived in the desert. Ate goat and sheep. Every now and then he'd get a steak. No. Gotta be beef. They didn't mix dairy and meat. But he was 120 years of age. His body was in such condition that even the devil was trying to get his body. The angels had to go get his body and bury it. It says so right in the Word. He'd spit. Occasions he would use spittle to make mud. To heal the deaf. The blind man. The blind man. Making a mud ball. You got it. What'd he do? Made him an eyeball. Stuck it right in there. From dust we came, dust we return. So he just spit in some dust, made him an eyeball, and stuck him an eyeball in there. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Pretty simple, wasn't it? Oh, you forgot your eyeball? You didn't get one? Here. Got an eyeball now. I bet he had better than 20/20 vision. He could see himself being healed, absolutely. Can you? Can you? Uh-oh, you're talking about faith. You got to watch that stuff, that faith stuff. You got to watch. You got to watch that faith stuff, people. You might believe that God can heal you. God don't do that no more. We're in the 21st, 3rd, whatever century. We got these fantastic doctors who's got these machines. They put you in. And it shows all these beautiful colors and things and your heart going and blood squirting and all that stuff. Who gave us the idea to do that kind of stuff? Why? Because some people just didn't have enough faith to receive their healing. Some people just don't have enough faith. Acts of faith. Like I said, you tell them to stretch out their hand. Pick up your bed and go home. Dude, I've been laying on this thing forever. And you're telling me my muscles and everything are all, what they call atrophied or whatever, what's the word for that? Atrophied? They're all shriveled up. And you're going to tell me pick up my bed and go home? Pick up your bed. Go home. I ain't got nothing to lose. Pick up my bed and I'm going home. Can imagine what that like when he came back into his house. How'd you get here? Well, I carried my bed. Say what? All those people in those 41 instances that received healing affected other people around them. Do you think they stood there by themselves? Do you think they were all alone? Did they not have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and friends, neighbors? And they know that this is you. They know that this has been wrong with you. And you come home healed? You've been out all these years, leprosy, whatever it is, and you come home healed? Oh, come on, people. What did the pastor say last night, Ronnie? About the amens? About the amens? There it is. It's 12 o'clock. How much longer do you want to go? There ain't but a few of us in here, but I can talk too. I'll give Rafi a run for his money. I do. I know I can. Because I'm going to be talking about the glory of God. Now those people who got healed, they affected other people. There you go. There you go. Now the rest of the story. Those people would show up in the crowds. I saw what you did for my neighbor. I know what you did for my brother or my sister. I know what you did for my mother and father. Touch me. I need to be healed. Every one of us needs to be healed of one thing or another. He did it by prayer. He healed through prayer. He spent so much time, he spent the 40 days and nights up on the hill after he got baptized. Came right out, went right into his ministry. Healing people. Showing them what the word really says. This is how you walk it out. You are Hebrew. You are Jews. You were taught, the boys are taught from the age of 5 until they become their bar mitzvah and become men. The word, the Torah. They know every letter in it. It's one long sentence. There's no periods, no question marks, no commas. It's one long sentence. And for them to pass, become a man, they have to be able to, the rabbi will give them a phrase, and they have to go and pick up from that phrase and read it on. They are. They know. They know the word of God. That's right. Should be written on our hands. Should be as front as on our head. They took it a little different, put these little boxes on their head. He's just talking about make sure it gets in your brain pan. But through prayer, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is two words. Jesus wept. And why did he weep? Because of compassion he felt on all those that were there when Lazarus had died. Lord! Lord, if you'd only been here 2 days ago! Had you only been here, I know that he would have been healed. I know with all my heart he would have been healed if you'd only been here. If you'd only been here. And then he saw everybody else and they're all weeping. Why? Because Lazarus was a good man. Lazarus gave to the sick and poor and the homeless. Lazarus was that man who gave you what you needed. His sisters and his brother, the sisters and the brother, would take in wayward people and feed them and clothe them and let them stay for a while. Anytime Jesus was in town, guess where him and the boys stayed at? They stayed at Lazarus. And it was never just Jesus and the boys. It's Jesus and the boys and the rest of the bunch. But Lord, if you only know, if you only could have been here. Jesus knew he was already dead. He's still out of town and he gets a message. Lord, come quick. The guy that you love is dying. He's sick. We'll be there. We'll get there. I got some things I got to take care of. We will be there. Then the message comes, Lord, Lazarus is dead. What did Jesus say? I know. Now we can go. Huh? Not yet. Not yet. He gets out there. And Mary comes to him. Sister comes to him. He looks at everybody. They're all upset, crying, rightfully so. Jesus feels, has compassion, feels the hurt that they feel. Because it was Jesus' friend also. And he goes through. Says, roll the rock away. Oh, but before that, says, do you believe that he can live? Oh, yes, Lord, we believe in the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection and all things are put right that he will live again. Yeah, but no. Do you believe that he can live? Lord, the word says this. Okay, do you believe that he can live? Lord, you know it. Roll the rock away. Whoa, wait a minute. That boy's been in there for 4 days. The Jews have a belief that a spirit, a man's spirit, can return back into you within 3 days. So when a body lays in state, they leave a window open so the spirit can come back in just in case. But he's been in the grave 4 days. Lord, he stinketh. Man, you trying to gag us or what? You ever been around anything dead? What about some rotten meat that you left in the refrigerator in the back a little bit too long? And you open that lid and that smell just says, I'm going to take the lung air right out of your lungs. Rock is rolled away. And with command. And it was very specific command. And there was a reason for it being very specific. He said, Lazarus! Come out! And this boy wrapped from head to toe. Come hopping out. And a hush came over the crowd. And ladies in the background swooned. And the brothers were dumbfounded. There wasn't, praise God! Hallelujah, amen! It was like, what? Am I seeing what I'm seeing? Undo the boy. Feed him. Tradition says he lived another 15 years after that. But why did he say Lazarus? You're talking about God incarnate. If he would have said, come out, there would have been a bunch of stuff happening. Everybody who had ever lived and died would be coming out. All the way back to Adam and Eve. And boy, last night was talking about the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm going, man, that boy read my sermon. And I know I had the right sermon because if someone else is reading my stuff before I get to read it, I know I'm on the right track and I'm hearing God. Used to make me a little upset, someone stepping all over my sermon. Then I realized, wait a minute, that just means I'm actually hearing what he's telling me to do. My hearing is getting tuned even better. Amen. Lord, asks the boy, can these bones these bleached, dry bones
live again.
There's bones to the north, south, east, and west. 360 degrees, whichever way he turned, you can see bones for miles and miles. Didn't say which valley, but I can imagine it was probably Valley of Megiddo, because there have been battles in that valley for hundreds and thousands of years. Because it's a perfect crossway. And they would go and have battle in that area. Because it was wide enough and level enough to really do some battle. And his answer to the Lord was the correct one. Thou knowest. Thou knowest. Speak to the bones. They have life again. I'm here to speak to you now. So you may have life, and you have life fully abundant. I know a lot of you personally. Some of you for many, many years. Many years, Brian. I remember when y'all got married. I remember when you were standing up on one end and she's standing on the other end. And now, me and Brian, this is my buddy here, Brian. How many? Me and him used to run around. He was my running buddy. He was my running buddy back when I had all the Mustangs and everything else. Worked together, hung out, going to the little church. Brian's up on one end of the choir, and she's down, and Mary's down at the other end. And they went like this, and he went like that. And I said, doggone it, I got to get another buddy. It was a beautiful thing. It was even more beautiful that I recognized it so quick. But we all have hurts. There's stuff that we need touching from God from. We need a miracle. We need God to touch us. Now we're going to do what he told us to do. Randy, come here. This is my buddy Randy. He walks it out. Got the x-rays to prove it. I've got a set of x-rays now that I know is going to happen to those too. If you need, I'm not going to say if you need because most of us do. Ronnie, come up. Richard, come up. If the pastor needs to touch it, we'll get to ourselves later. But we're here for you now. We're here for you now. And those of you who need a touch from God, we're going to come to, or y'all come up here.